You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, China cuts interest rates ahead of US trade talks and the Australian dollar hits a six-month high against the US. All of that and more next. Hi everyone, it's Wednesday, the 7th of May 2025, on a day with the Australian share market rose, snapping a two-day losing streak, the S&P ASX 200 up a third of a percent to 8,178. That's as China injected fresh stimulus ahead of US trade talks later this week. It drove the oil and iron ore prices higher, as well as energy stocks, which did particularly well on the ASX 200 today. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Luke Larida, the CEO of Seneca Financial Solutions. Luke, so China has cut interest rates ahead of trade talks between it and the US tomorrow. How exactly are investors feeling about these developments and what it may mean for markets?
Yeah, I think the commodity markets are kind of telling us the story, really, Ricardo. You know, iron ore up overnight, gold up 3% overnight, copper up 1.4% overnight. So investors are starting to feel more confident that the Chinese government are going to be willing to step in and stimulate the domestic economy as these tariffs sort of start to take hold. I do think, though, that the tariff rhetoric is kind of getting walked back by Trump and the White House. And as that happens, I think sentiment is going to continue to improve. And that's positive for our miners and the energy sector here on the ASX.
What about the currency movements, right? Because the Australian dollar is at a six-month high. That's also ahead of the US Fed decision on interest rates tomorrow. There's a likely interest rate cut from Australia in about 2 weeks. What exactly is moving the currency? You mentioned the China news, so there's that potential for commodity prices moving it as well. And to what extent, though, is it a weaker US story?
I think it is a weaker US story, but it's about capital flows and the flow of money around the world. So, you know, foreign investors are selling US equities after foreign ownership of US equities peaked at about 18% of the whole market during the Biden administration. So we probably argue here that it is more of a weak US dollar than a sort of strong Aussie dollar. And that's due to reduced investment demand for both equities and bonds in the US. And that money's flowing to these sort of non-US dollar denominated assets around the world.
A bit of company news out today. If we can focus on the banks, first of all, NAB shares hitting a three-month high today after its $3.6 billion half-year cash profit beat expectations. The market, though, didn't like Westpac's numbers yesterday, and we've got ANZ later in the week. What's your take on the banks at the moment? Because there's been all this talk about some of the banks being potentially overvalued and the likes of the Commonwealth Bank, for example, hitting record highs in recent times.
Yeah, look, the banks look expensive sort of in our view with low to no profit growth across the board. CBA is certainly the outlier, the most expensive, the most egregious valuation. And, you know, in our view, that's an avoid. You know, from what's been what we've seen so far with reporting season, you know, Westpac was a frack worse than expected, as you mentioned. NAB today, a frack better, but nothing to get too carried away about. I think even though the cycle for these businesses might be turning, you're paying near 10-year high valuations for what, at least in our view, is, you know, near 10-year low operational performance and growth. So I think there's much better opportunities available on the market out there than chasing the four banks at the moment. And if you have to be there, you'd want to be in these other three and not in CBA.
Lots of other reports out today. We're in the midst of, I guess, what some people call confession season. Can you tell us what's caught your attention? Why? And are there any indications about how the trade dispute is likely affecting earnings?
Look, I don't know if this would classify as a confession, but online homewares and furniture business Temple & Webster reported they're doing 18% PCP growth at the moment in a cost of living crisis, which certainly caught my attention, you know, well above where I thought they could be at this time of the year. And they were really accelerating their earnings, their profits and sales at the moment as well. So, you know, given the housing market really hasn't turned yet, and it's probably not even showing signs that it's going to turn, I find this pretty staggering to see this sort of growth in a, you know, frontline consumer company. And at the same time, you've got the bond market pricing in multiple interest rate cuts, as you kind of alluded to earlier, for this calendar year. So it's pretty hard for me to reconcile. You know, I can't see an RBA cutting when you've got businesses like Temple & Webster putting out numbers like that.
And a few moments ago, you were talking about if people had to be in the banks, you know, what you were saying there, but you also said there were other opportunities outside the banking sector, right? So what are you telling your investors at the moment, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, I think at a high level, we're encouraging clients to, you know, decrease their exposure to US equities and bonds relative to the rest of the world, with, you know, our strong preference for emerging markets and emerging market adjacent economies like Australia. Inside Australia and closer to home, we continue to prefer small caps relative to large, with sort of the material opportunities for us in those sort of small and mid-cap gold miners, where we're seeing an industry consolidation go underway and lots of takeover activity. You know, getting to specifics, I suppose we think that starts with what will probably be the imminent takeover of Antipa Minerals, AZY. They've got a 2.3 million ounce gold deposit up in the West, and we think Greatland Gold, their neighbour, is in desperate need to buy that asset.
That is Luke Larrative there from Seneca Financial Solutions. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice, and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.